Oh, don't you worry, my love.
This year, nothing's stopping me.
Breaking news. Santa could be quarantined. Quarantined.
Next.
Don't stop me, don't stop me.
Oi! Get off!
Don't stop me, don't stop me.
Turkey, Mum?
Just try and stop me.
This Christmas, nothing's stopping us.
This Christmas, nothing is stopping us. Nothing's going to stop Granny. She's got an electric scooter. Nothing is going to stop Santa. He's been vaccinated. Nothing's going to stop the Christmas party. The electrics may go in the building. And let's face it, that's just a really unrealistic thing. Can you ever imagine a scenario where the electrics go in the building? I can't. But it's okay. We can set Christmas puddings on fire. And we've got a number lined up just in case tonight. You see, nothing can stop us, but something is stopping us. A variant that none of us can pronounce right. And it seems to be slowing things down, doesn't it? I guess for me, probably the most profound moment in that I find it quite irritating Tesco advert is this. It's the plane. It's the plane. The stop, start. Stop, start. And it's felt like so much of that in our lives this year, hasn't it? Stop, start. Stop, start. Stop. Start. You know, some of us will have felt our lives have been in a permanent stop. Fear has gripped us. Maybe we've been vulnerable, or we've been caring for someone who's been vulnerable, or maybe we've lost loved ones to COVID, and this year has been a fundamental stop. Some of us, our lives have started, and we don't want another stop. Maybe we're a healthcare professional, and we can't cope with another surge. Maybe the thought of even more restrictions, if these don't work, it's just awful. People here will have businesses, and their livelihoods will have been affected by this uncertainty. Stop, start, stop, start, stop, start. And I guess all of us sat here in the room, or maybe if we're watching at home, we're longing for the feast that comes at the end of that advert. You know, what is the feast? It's the people. It's the connections. It's the peace. It's the joy. Now, look, things are so much better this year than they were a year ago. Here we are, sat in a room, being able to sing together with masks on. But the promise of the feast is feeling distant again. Well, Luke 2 tells us this. He tells us the promise of a feast, and all of that means is certain because of what happened that first Christmas. We heard that in our final Christmas reading. And it's a really wonderful moment, isn't it? As the shepherds were on their night shift in the darkest of night, and they need to put their sunglasses on because the glory of the Lord appeared, the brightest of lights, as this dramatic supernatural event launches into their lives. An angel of the Lord appears to them. And what message does he have? verse 10. Let me read it to you. He says this, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people." See, he says to us here, in the midst of our fear and uncertainty, that what happened in Bethlehem is news that can dispel our fear. It can bring deep and lasting joy. See, what happened in history can secure the ultimate feast in heaven. It's the feast that all our little feasts sort of point forward to. They're a little taste of what will come. How can it be secured? Well, it's the identity and mission of the baby that is born. Just have a look at verse 11. This is what it says. "Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ. He is the Messiah, the Lord." See, who is the one who has come? It's the one who made the feast. It's the one who's made the feast of life. See that? Look at it. Look how he's described. He's described as the Messiah, the Lord. Now that is Bible language for saying that Jesus is the promised king. And he's not just the promised king. He's the one who is in fact divine, eternal, God himself. You see, God, the eternal maker of everyone and everything, has become one of us. He's entered into our world. He's entered into our mess. The God who is bigger than the universe enters in and becomes small and vulnerable. You know, if you want to recapture the magic of Christmas, just look into the manger. You know, if you've been in Bethlehem 2,000 years ago and you'd knocked on the right stable door, you could have picked up in your arms your Creator and played peekaboo with him. One theologian, Jim Packer, he puts it like this. The more you think about it, the more staggering it gets. Nothing in fiction is so fantastic as the truth of the incarnation. He says, just read anything, and it doesn't come close to this actual reality. God became one of us. Why? Why did God enter into our world? Well, it was to bring us to an eternal feast. Jesus came to bring us to the eternal feast in heaven. That is something that we can't do for ourselves. See, look how Jesus describes again. He's not just the Messiah, the Lord. What has he come to do? Today, a Savior has been born to you. See, God has come to rescue. He's come to save. You know, if COVID's taught us one thing, it's this. The world is broken. And if the isolation and the challenges around us have also taught us something, it's this. That we are broken. You know, even when we get to have our Christmas feasts, we will love it. It'll be brilliant. Can't wait. But there's difficulty there as well, isn't there? You know, what is it going to be like if that certain person turns up? Will they bring up that thing that happened 5 years ago that no one has forgiven anyone about? What happens when the uncle drinks too much again? You see, the feasts where we hope for peace and joy and connection with each other, we know they can go wrong. Why? Because of our pride and our selfishness and the sin that is within us all. See, there's a brokenness within. And that brokenness doesn't just mess up our relationships horizontally, it also messes things up vertically. You see, the same pride and selfishness and sin means I end up saying to God, do you know what? I quite like the baby Jesus at Christmas, but actually the rest of the time, I don't want anything to do with you. I don't want you at the table of my life. Now, that's kind of tragic. It's tragic because it misses the whole point of life. See, we're made to enjoy feast, the feast of life with our Maker, Jesus. And we're not meant to walk through the difficulties and challenges and the dark paths of life without him. But the Bible makes it really clear. You know, if we live our whole lives pushing him out of our life, then he'll have no choice to give us what we choose beyond this life when we meet him. He'll shut us out of his feast for eternity. See, we all face it. We all deserve that. But the angels come into the world and they say, don't fear. God's not come just to kick you in the gut and tell you he hates you. No, he's come to rescue you for the feast. You see, God takes on our flesh so he can take on our sin. The babe in Bethlehem becomes the man in Calvary. And as he dies on the cross, he's punished for our pride and selfishness and sin. He swaps places with us so that if we trust him, he will gladly take our sin and he will give us his sinless perfection. It's the best exchange ever. Why? Because there's no other way to his feast. And he desperately wants you there. He wants you with him both now and for the rest of all eternity. You know, I don't know if you've ever been in a situation where someone who you really love is in the deepest of trouble. You know, not someone who you vaguely know or someone who's a Facebook friend, but someone who you actually know and care for deeply. If someone you know who you care and love for deeply is in real difficulty, what will you do? You will do anything to go and fix the problem. For those of you who don't know me, I used to live in Worcester before I moved to Norwich. And I remember a dad in Worcester whose daughter had made some really bad decisions in life. It really messed up. They'd got caught up in a whole bunch of stuff, drugs and drink, and they were addicted to it. And he used to joke. He used to say, whenever she called home, he would always have two questions. Where do I need to come to? And how much is it going to cost me? See, this dad never stopped loving her. And he would go any lengths to help his daughter. Why? Because that love was so great. See, the God who made us was willing not to stop at any lengths to help us. Why? Because he loves us. He loves you. Nothing was going to stop him from sending his son. You know, if we say to Jesus, please forgive me, please be my God, nothing will stop him from forgiving us. And whatever life throws at us, he will walk with us in the pain and he will take us through death and bring us to his feast with him for all eternity. Why? Because nothing will stop him. You know, that Tesco advert at the start, it's bittersweet, isn't it? Nothing can stop us, and here we are, and we're thinking, oh dear. There's always things out of our control that will stop us. But not God. His plans are unpreventable. They're inescapable. They're unstoppable. He sends his son so that we can be with him in his feast for the rest of forever. What do the shepherds do as they hear this news? Do you know what they did? They all looked at their phones and they thought, oh, that's really interesting. Do you see Dave's gone to Wagamama's for tea as they flick through their social media? No, they thought, let's go and have a look. Let's go and see what's happened in Bethlehem. You know, maybe some of them thought, that was a bit nutty, wasn't it? An angel appearing, but come on, let's just go and see what's happened there. You know, it's worth a look. You know, something happened 2,000 years ago. Over 2 billion people in the world today say Jesus is God and he can save. Have you ever had a look? You know, there's a couple of ways you could do that tonight to look into this. We've got these short, brilliant books called A Very Messy Christmas. And they'll take you about 45 minutes to read, way better than watching Netflix. Why not pick it up? Why not take it home? If you're at home watching this online, you're in your living room, email the church office through the church website. We'd love to send you a copy of this. And why not also think about committing 3 nights in January? January is just a rubbish month, isn't it? It's a rubbish month. Why not meet some new people, ask some questions? There's absolutely no pressure. You can just come along and listen, or you can come along and ask any questions about what we have heard tonight. But actually, do you know? You know, what we've heard tonight is quite dramatic. It changes everything. And it may just be that you are sat there thinking, do you know what? If Jesus has done that for me, if he has died to forgive all my sins, and he really is God, then I want to do something about that tonight. You know, it may be that you've been around at church for a while, or you've been watching online for quite a while, and you're utterly convinced that Jesus is God, he's come to save, and you want him to save you. Well, look, I'm going to pray a prayer. And it's a prayer of just saying to God, look, thank you for sending Jesus. Forgive me for the wrong things I've done, and help me to know you and live for you. If you want to echo that in your own heart, you can do that now. So let's bow our heads. Father God, thank you so much for sending Jesus into our dark and messy world. You know, we are sorry. I am sorry for ignoring you and living my life as if you are not there and doing things that have wronged others. I trust Jesus' death is enough to forgive me. And I thank you that he has done everything needed for me to know you, both now and to go to your eternal feast. Help me by your Spirit to live for you. Amen. Amen. Well, let me assure you, if you've talked to God tonight in a way that you've never done before, he has heard you. And maybe something tonight has really struck you. Please tell someone who brought you or invited you. They'd love to be able to help you. Come and have a chat with me if you want to ask more. Well, we're going to finish our time.